Hi guys, welcome to Supposedly Adults.
We're four supposed adults making sense of the world,
learning how to be a slightly better person,
and just trying to make life suck less.
That's right, I'm Jansen.
I'm Melody.
This is Calvin.
And I'm Lyris.
And today's random question is, do you know that you're toxic?
Hello guys.
Hi.
Welcome back to our podcast. All right. So before, in an episode that we talked about, like our favorite podcast, I mentioned the Frenemies podcast. And during, or right after recording that podcast, like our episode, the Frenemies podcast was canceled because of supposed toxic behavior.
Dude, you're so toxic.
No, it's just a coincidence. It's the pizza curse again. Okay. Unrelated, we're going to have an episode about toxicity. Wow, what a coincidence. So topical. So I just want to ask, what do you guys think is, I guess, the definition of toxicity, or what do you define as a toxic person? Not a chemical, a toxic person, you know?
I think it does the same thing to whatever object or material. Oh, but I actually have a story. I don't know if that's constitution of toxicity or if it defines toxicity, so you guys can let me know whether you think that that's the case. So I do have a I have a very close friend, and because he basically had went through a lot of difficult stuff, so then I've always been there to talk to him about it and to seek, and he always find it very hard to talk to people, so then he was able to open up to me, and we got very close because of that. But then as time goes on, he is starting to react very strongly to what I do. So let's say if, you know, I usually would reply to a message, and then, but because I'm with my family, so then I didn't check my phone and I didn't reply. And then after a few bit, you know, he would start, you know, reacting very weirdly. Like he would start giving me one worded answer and just not caring and be like, oh yeah, whatever, cool. And then I don't know what's happening. And then sometimes, you know, once in a while, I'll also check in to see how he's doing. And then he would also, you know, say things like, doesn't matter, or I don't know, why does it matter? I don't care. So stuff like that, right? And then I am very confused, but then I kept doing it. I kept checking in. And then later on, you know, I kind of asked him a few times, and then I learned that it's because I haven't been as responsive over text, apparently. So he thinks that I don't care as much. Or sometimes, you know, I would have asked a question, and then he would think that, you know, you should have known, why did you even ask this? Asking this question shows that you don't care or you don't understand. So I've been trying
it's
really
still high
hard
school. I miss this so much.
Yeah, no, so I've been trying really, really hard to kind of just, you know, make him feel better, because I do feel bad for him and for what he's going through. So I try to see what he needs. I ask him, you know, what is something that I can do to make you feel better, or you know, whether there's anything I could say more or do more or not do. But then he would think that, you know, the fact that you are asking that shows that you don't care as much, because if you do care, you know what you're
having.
You
so
to
dumb.
Do and, you know, stuff like that. So
that's so high school. God.
I know. So,
you remind everyone how old you are.
I am.
The first time listening, be like, wow, this is like a podcast of a bunch of teen girls or something.
Yeah, no. So honestly, I don't think it's intentional. I honestly don't think that he's a bad person per se, but I think it's because of things that he's going through or past traumas that made him react or you know, as a self-protection mechanism, he does that. So I'm also very aware of that. That's why I also still continue to try to be consistent and try to check in and all that. But to a point, it dragged out for like half a year, and to a point where I feel like I'm really stressed. Like I'm constantly, every time I type a message, I reread it, I rewrite it, and then I delete it, and then I rewrite it again, because I don't know if it's gonna
trigger
him. You know, he's gonna take a message the wrong way. I don't know if I, you know, saying this is the right thing or not, or should I not say it, or am I not doing something right, or did I not do something, you know, and I constantly am in this very, very stressed situation. And to a point where I feel like, oh, this is actually a lot. And I started going to therapy and to talk about that as well. And then
wait.
Therapy is great, by the way.
You ask us if this is toxic or not, and then you tell us because of this, you went to a therapist.
No, so that's the reason why I'm asking. It's because, you know, I don't know if it's just because I'm being, like, sometimes I also think that, am I just being selfish? Am I just insensitive? Am I the bad person for feeling that this is too much? Should I be always there? You know, I think that is the struggle that I have the most.
I can feel how stressful you must be because just listening to it, I feel so stressed right now.
I'm so anxious.
Oh my God. So yeah. Oh my God.
Okay, I have to acknowledge that we are definitely only hearing from your side. We don't know who is this person A, and he or she is he, right?
Yeah.
He can't be here to respond against these accusations.
Ooh.
allegedly, whatever happens. So I can get from what you have told us that, okay, it seems like he's saying you can't meet his expectations, yet when you try to ask you, he doesn't tell you what's wrong. Mm-hmm. So he expects you to be there without giving you any additional information. And then somewhat intentional or not, he's dragging you into his emotional problems, right?
Yeah.
So I identify elements of, like, very controlling and being like a Debbie Downer of some sorts. But intentional or not, does it actually matter if it's intentional? Can I ask what problem that he had originally? Like, was it family? Was it like mental-ish problems?
It wasn't like an actual, like, right now kind of problem, but it's more, he never had a chance to open up to people. So when I was interested to learn more about, you know, what he went through, you know, as a kid or as a teenager, you know, he felt like he could trust me. And that's why I feel like he depended on me, which I am very grateful for that trust. And I'm very grateful to have gained that. But I feel like as things go on, it just became too much for me. So this is also something that I always struggle with. So let's say I am the kind of person who really likes listening to people's stories or people's struggles, and I really want to be able to help. But sometimes I realize I do get dragged along very easily. So when they're very depressed or when they're very upset or anxious, I get dragged into it too, and I get very depressed too. So sometimes it's very hard for me to draw that boundary. So I don't know if toxicity is just a result of something, or if toxicity has to be the intention of something. Like, is there a separation between a toxic behavior versus a toxic person? So this is something that we can talk about too.
But I feel like, it does this person just generally drain you mentally? Like, I felt like he was draining you quite a bit. So how is that not a toxic friendship? I don't understand how that is not.
Yeah, but I can also understand, like, the struggle, because as normal people do have, like, a lot of empathy, and you knowing, like, he went through a lot and the trauma, and probably I'm not a therapist, but I think I could, like, I will assume that he probably does have some mental issues, I think. But probably he's going through a lot, right? He probably has his own baggage and all that, and you want to be there as a friend. So sometimes you do feel guilty that you're not giving enough, or you really want to help them. And then if you're like, oh, I know that he really needs me, or like, this person really needs me right now, but because I am dealing with my own things, if I'm like prioritizing my mental health over theirs, then am I being selfish? Or like, if the tables are turned, if I am in a very like sad position, I would want people to be there. If someone goes like, oh no, you're a bit much, it will probably be a bit hurtful.
But I felt like it, you know, depends, like, for I guess in Melody case, or in any relationship, it has to be a two-way street, isn't it? Like, it has to go both ways, right? So obviously, when you're sad, you want your friend to be there for you, right? And also, when your friend's sad, you want to be there for your friend.
Yeah.
But in your scenario, for that 6 months, it sounded like, again, you just heard your side of the story, but it always just sounded like it's just a one-sided thing, right? Like, a lot of times you always say, oh, you don't understand me, or like, oh, you should know, if you know me, then you shouldn't ask. Like, basically, he just put himself front and center. That's it, always. they never consider your side of things, right? And also when you're not replying, he was like, well, why aren't you responding to me? Like, dude, I have a life. Why do I need to respond to you? You know what I mean? He always just put his needs first and doesn't really consider what you need or whatever you are going through. So that in itself, it's not really a relationship because it's just a one-way street. It's not a two-way street. So.
Wait, so it's a 6 months relationship, like friendship?
Yeah, no. So this whole thing, it dragged out for like half a year, more than that. So it's the back and forth of me trying to ask, what do you want me to do? Or how could I do better? But then, not getting that.
And there's no power dynamic. I think that's also
there isn't power dynamic, but then we're in a situation where we have to see each other every day. So it's not, So that also complicated it a little. No, but I think what, you know, at the end, you know, what kind of made it for me where I realized, okay, this is honestly too much, is when I basically said, you know, there are a lot of issues, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, I am not in a position to help you with it. And I am encouraging him to seek help and to go see a therapist or see the therapist that I'm seeing, because I'm benefiting so much from it. But then he basically said a very passive aggressive thing and basically said that I would never say that to somebody who is struggling. Maybe I'm just weak. So saying that, it's kind of implying that, you know, you're being very insensitive and very rude for suggesting that or to say that. So, you know, at that point, I just felt like, it's a little too much. I know this is it's a very complicated story. I hope the listeners know what I'm talking about. But essentially, this is kind of the point where it made me realize, okay, you know, I thought I'm trying really hard to be, you know, empathetical and whatnot, but then he's not getting that. And he thinks that I am just essentially an entitled, selfish douche. And at that point, I just realized I have already, you know, there's no more I can give in a way. So I kind of took a step back. You know, it's very difficult. So a part of me still always feels like whether I'm just selfish or whether just I am that entitled douche. But I don't know.
Like, I would want to say you are not selfish because from your story, proven that you have given your time to him. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he just keeps taking. And sometimes there has to be a limit between, like, friends where if the friendship basically feels one-sided, it doesn't seem like, so has he asked you, like, how have you been feeling? Or has he, like, come check up on you? Because I think that's a great indicator of whether, like, regardless of toxic behavior, I think that is something more of, that's something, like, I expect most of my friendships to be, where, like, you can ask me how I am, I ask you how you are, like, from time to time. It should be reciprocated and whatnot. But definitely, the idea of toxicity, I think maybe we're also saying it in a sense of, like, we're trying to be objective, but perhaps the idea of toxicity is very subjective to our own individual experiences and what we kind of give up. Because if you don't have the energy to kind of, like, empathy is great, but if you don't have the energy to do it 24/7, then you, like, simply put, like, we can't be there for everyone in our lives.
So would you say the definition of toxicity is not, there isn't a threshold or a standard for toxicity? It's more relative to how the subjective experiences, you'd say?
I would say it's rather relative, and we see through the narratives that we kind of give ourselves. And even like when we judge people online, oh, is this person being toxic? Am I the asshole? Those type of better questions. We should probably do an episode on that. That would be kind of fun. But we're trying to be objective, but like at the end of the day, we're kind of subjective because it kind of takes into a lot of, oh, how we were growing up, what environment we grew up in, and then whether we understand the cultural thing that exists in terms of the relationship, right? Is this right? I don't know. What do you guys think, Lewis, Calvin?
I think it has to be a subjective thing because everybody's boundary is different. Like, your boundaries and your comfort level doesn't have to be the same as everybody. It also depends on how close you are to that person, right? Let's say my boundary to strangers is going to be totally different than my boundaries to my family. So I think it's okay. It's okay to have a different radius between yourself and other people and for different people. And it's okay for that boundary to change as well. Let's say it's strangers, your boundary is a certain way. But then as you get closer, you can become a little bit closer and closer. That's how you get a closer relationship. But again, at the end of the day, it always has to be a two-way street. It cannot just it can't be a one-way because it's not sustainable. Because it's everything. It's give and take, right? If you just take and not give, or you just give and not take anything, like you're in your case, you're exhausted. How can a relationship mm-hmm. be sustainable? Any type of relationship. So I think, I guess to answer your question, it is subjective, obviously, and it could change, but it is subjective.
Yeah. So my question would be, how do you guys cope with things like that? Because I'm horrible at drawing boundaries, like be it with my family, be it with friends, be it with, you know, work friends, you know, I'm just horrible at it. I feel like I can't say no. Like even if I'm very angry at the back, I would just go like, oh, yeah, of course I'll do that for you. And then I go like, why the hell am I doing that? Why, you know, stuff like that. So I'm horrible at drawing boundaries. So I really do want to learn from you guys. So how do you guys cope with these kind of toxic behaviors or relationships?
Have no friends like me. Then you have no boundary to draw. Or it's infinite because there's nobody near you. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, like yours Jensen, is like... Yeah. Go ahead.
You have to see this person daily, right? Or
just an example, like in your own life, have you had a toxic example where you, how did you cope with that?
No, but I think my example, it will bring in like a different question, I suppose. Okay, like mine is between like friends, and we don't see each other regularly for reasons that I will elaborate right now. So I think, because I'm still a student, and I guess, can I pinpoint it to one person? There's several people in this vein, and I think it's very common.
I like gossip.
In academic environments. We're not gossiping. We refer to other podcasts on gossip. We're trying to learn from our own experiences, but not exert judgment.
No, so, Say their name.
My example... is like, especially during exam season, there are those people where when they study with you, it's great to study with people and it somewhat relieves the stress when you're studying with good company. And sometimes, especially when I'm studying with people from the same course, the questions that they do, and they are generally hardworking, but sometimes when they ask questions, they don't really come from a place where they're trying to clarify a query that they have, but more so is to check your progress to kind of compare themselves against you so that they can feel good about themselves, number one. And number two, it's more of like, I don't know whether it's intentional, but again, it just creates some sort of worry or anxiousness and about like, oh, you don't know this part of the course? Oh, okay. But in the tone, or perhaps sometimes the way they say, even I don't know whether it's clear from the tone, the example I use here, it's how I feel. They are just trying to show me up or trying to cast doubt within myself, and like I know them and I'm still friends with them. Yeah. Perhaps not close friends as we could be, but like it also could be me, because I feel like I just don't like studying with people from the same course in the event of any of these situations happen. That's how I guess I prevent myself from doing that. But also it brings up the question of whether this behavior, because it only happens in exam season, fortunately for me it only happens like once a year during a 3-month period, but like I can foresee that for people in Singapore where they have exams every few months, they're gonna be toxic forever. I don't know.
How did you cope with that then?
I just avoided them. Like I understand that it could be more of a me problem than other people. So every time when I like, there are plenty other examples of toxicity. There's just one hopefully relatable story to other students. But whenever I encounter like any form of toxic behavior, I like to confirm/give a biased assurance of whether I am the correct or wrong person in the scenario. So I always go and approach mutual friends and see like, do you have a similar experience to with this person? What do you think of this person? I try to kind of gauge that response. And then when I realize that, okay, I'm not alone. in my feelings to this one. And then obviously this person is not toxic or intentionally toxic, because this person, he or she, has other friends that they can study with, they can befriend. So, okay, I'm just not one of these people. I'm gonna just back away. This is perhaps my problem, but also your problem, but I don't want to confront you because, you know, I'm not an authority figure. I wouldn't say I have the moral high ground in many of these situations. So I just back away. And then, you know, you do you. And then from time to time, we'll still catch up. We're still friends. It's just that there's a bit of a personality thing where I don't like that part of you. But other than that, it should be okay, I think.
No, I think it's cool because it's more like, you know, you're still friends. You're okay. But, you know, this part, I know that I'm not going to feel good, you know, studying with you, for instance. Then I just avoid studying with you. I think that is a very, you know, civil way to go about doing that. Like, there is no reason for you to put yourself through that if it makes you uncomfortable, right?
But a quick question. I understand. I totally understand. I probably would have done the same thing. But just playing devil's advocate, why not? Because you avoid it, but why not just straight up tell the person? Or I'm just curious, like, why not just communicate that with the person? Is it because... Yeah, I guess why not? And then I will have a follow-up question.
Yeah, like, again, like, when I verify with my friends, it feels like I'm in the right. But then again, the mutual friends that I go to, and I guess somewhat in a negative way, I kind of, like, remember the people who agree with me to kind of reinforce that mindset. But again, that doesn't mean that the mindset is correct. It's not. It's still not objective. It's just our own subjective opinions about how this person behaves at this period of time. So again, like, because I don't feel I am like I have no fault in the situation, because it also feels like maybe I'm being too sensitive, where like, oh my god, you're asking me a question, I'm being slightly triggered, and then therefore I don't want it to be such a small thing to cause a rift.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah.
Even though sometimes in my head I imagine scenarios of like going up to them like, hey, why are you such a dick? Kind of thing. But like, the more I think about it, it doesn't feel like it will play out very well. Plus, it's just gonna hurt me in the long run more than them, maybe.
I was gonna say, but it's the whole how the relationship becomes stronger is by you sharing and everybody understand each other, understand your, you know, sharing your vulnerability. That's how you have a stronger relationship. But at the same time, as you're talking about it, I kind of playing that in my head, playing that scenario. Like, what if I say it and that guy doesn't play ball and that's it? That's a friendship's over. Yeah. Like, sometimes when you say it, things are over. That's like, okay, better off like you did.
So you want to set that clear boundaries.
Or it really depends on like the nature of the relationship, because you don't have, because there's different
that's
types of relationships,
fair, yeah.
Which is something that I struggle with, because I am a person who I either don't know you, like we're either strangers / acquaintance, or we're really good friends. So I'm a kind of person who will like tell you like, oh, like I would be like, because I'm like in my brain, I'm like, I'm being authentic, I'm being true to myself, you know? So I always go like, actually, like the same, like I'm like, oh, actually, this doesn't feel good or whatever. Because I want our relationship to be stronger. But then sometimes you don't have to have a good relationship with everyone, right? So like in that situation, maybe if you tell them, so there's only like two scenarios. Either you're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Or it's something that, they don't have to change in a sense. Maybe some people will find like what they're doing like very motivating, right? Maybe people likes like that competition so that you can grow, right? Some people might like that, but I don't. Then I don't have to force them to, you know, like work the same way.
Do it your way.
Yeah, but for mine, I guess it doesn't answer the question that Melody proposed, where, because mine, I can simply avoid them. They're like my friends. And then again, it's seasonal to me. So it's part of it's seasonal toxicity. Funny. So I avoid them during that season. I think it's great. I love that term. I don't know why it just sounds so great. But, you know, I avoid them at these parts. It's like avoiding people when you know they're about to explode. So you don't want to face the ripple effects. You just like step aside and then come back when the bomb is quiet and they're not a bomb and whatnot. But again, that's different to Melody's situation.
So I like in this situation, like avoid, because like the friendship, like the relationship is probably not that like deep or whatever. But like sometimes there are relationships where you want to keep them. Like for example, like with family, right? There are a lot of toxic behaviors within families, and specifically in Asian household, there probably is, because there's zero boundaries. You're not supposed to have any boundaries in like Asian family. Like if you lock your door, you're like, oh, I guess this is a hotel for you, whatever, you know, like a lot of, I don't know, like Asian people might be able to relate to that. But like in these situations, you might not want to like just like avoid them or cut them. You probably have to set like a boundary.
Yeah, Kelvin, and there's like, okay, actually for all of you guys, because you guys are from bigger families, bigger than mine, because I'm an only child and like I study overseas. So like,
yeah,
my boundaries are very, very clear to me. It's literally a border of a country. Like for you guys, do you guys have any stories about how to draw boundaries for people you see every day? And I think family is a bit difficult because there is a power dynamic, but mm-hmm. I guess kids still help in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, just very quickly, I realized how lack of a boundary there is in my family until I went into mm-hmm. quarantine for 21 days. I thought I'd go crazy in that 21 days, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, because whenever people, you know, do things or have me do things, I just have to say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm in quarantine. There's nothing I can do about it. And I feel like, you know, I have so much boundary. I love it. People don't just, you know, give me food. They knock on the door and they walk away. And then I can grab my meal at my own time and I decide when I want to eat them. So it's perfect. Yeah. Anyway, that's but beyond the point.
I actually do have quite a few examples of like drawing boundaries with my family. Because I've went to therapy a bit longer, like I've done it for like half a year.
It's not a competition.
I'm toxic. Oh no. So, because it's very hard, because sometimes you have to draw a boundary with someone that you love, and you don't want to hurt their feelings, and you feel like if you draw a certain boundary, you will hurt their feelings, which I think it's kind of inevitable in a sense, right? But then I just feel like the way to approach it is to be stern, but also like approach it with like love, to like tell them like, you know, I love you and I want to have like a good relationship with you, but this is like how you're making me feel this way. And I feel like keep it like as subjective as possible. Like don't be like, oh, you're a bad person or you're toxic and you're like suffocating me. But it's more like, oh, I feel like this is how I feel. So like, be it more like make it more emotional and subjective, so you don't like hurt their feelings. So for example, with my mom, so it's hard to draw boundaries with your mother, because you know, like the power dynamic, you know, like they sacrifice a lot for us, you know, whatnot. But I feel like sometimes like from my experience, let me think, because I have like a few examples.
Because when you mentioned when you mentioned how like they always use that thing like, oh, I'm earning all the money, I really don't understand when parents use the parent card of like, because I'm your parent, you can't talk back to me. Because I feel like that's just not good parenting. I'm sorry, Dad, you use that a lot. I'm gonna call you out. I love you, but you use that a lot when I was younger. I still hold grudges. But yeah, what examples did you?
Okay, so my mom is like, so she has some opinion about my relationship, right, with my partner. So she like freely tells me about it and be like, this is not good, I don't think, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want you to like follow my footsteps, because my mom is divorced. And I completely understand that, right? Because she comes from like a complete place of like good intention. She doesn't want me to, you know, make her same mistake. So she like, you know, tried to give me mm-hmm. like advice. But because I don't have mm-hmm. a really close relationship with my mom, in a sense that we don't really talk about, you know, my emotion, I don't share her like very specific like personal experiences. So I feel like she met my partner once and then she gave like an opinion. So I don't feel comfortable with that. So like, how did I draw boundaries? That I kind of told her like I started with, you know, wearing a helmet, like in a Cantonese term, which is like trying to butter her up and be like, oh, I understand that like you like really love me and you want to, you know, you want the best for me, and I understand why you want to give your opinion and stuff. Like, I know you love me and I appreciate you for that. So you start with that, you know, like be like, okay, I understand where you're coming from. But then you tell them, but like the way that you're approaching this is kind of making me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's also not effective if your intention is like the best for me, but you're only adding stress to me. Just telling her that, but you're not doing anything wrong. It's just that that's how I feel from your behavior specifically. And then I give her some solutions into. So I try to be as clear as possible. I'm like, okay, so this is how I'm feeling. So maybe if you want to talk to me about my relationship, there are two ways for you to say it that's the most effective. So either maybe we can make it an open conversation. So instead of you just coming in and be like, your partner is not good at this and this and this, you should break up or something like that. You can like maybe ask me like, oh, what do you think of the relationship? What are you going through in your everyday life? How is he treating you? And then I can tell you about like how I feel or what I want in a relationship. Then maybe I could be like, I can feel safe in opening up to you. Oh, we do have these problems in the relationship. Then what do I do? So there's a kind of like a mutual ground thing. So either that, or if you don't have the time to, you know, build this rapport with me, then I'm sorry, you cannot comment on my relationship. So it's kind of like a very clear kind of solution.
It's a great solution. That,
but I try to be as loving. I try to be as loving as possible, like to tell her that it's not your fault. I understand where you're coming from, but that's just how, like subjectively, that's how it is. Making me feel and then she never talked about my relationship, although she does have like a lot of passive aggressive be like, oh,
she
know,
just
like,
comes to me to talk about it.
I know, whatever. And then she also like, you know, gives me a lot of passive like, oh, you know, like daughters, they like grow up and then like you can't say anything to them anymore, but like that's not my problem, you know, like I just kind of ignore that. But you know, I mean, you have to give them time as well.
Oh no,
go ahead.
No, I just thought I was just gonna comment to you, like how you take care of the situation so well, treat it so well. Because a lot of times I feel like when you're like, oh, I need to tell you how I feel, whatever, and maybe it's just me, fiery person, maybe it would perceive as like a confrontational type or whatever. But I feel like no, it did so good because you basically just try to open a dialogue, telling, hey, this is what I need, right? This is what happened, and you offer a solution. But at the same time, you try to get her opinion, like try to get like what's your side of the story. And I think that's really important in terms of communication. Again, it's everything is two-way streets, right? Because if we always just like, oh, this is how I feel, I need to tell you about it, that's just one way, that defeat the whole purpose. And I felt like you did so good because it's always you try to open a dialogue, like actual dialogue, instead of just like ranting, you know. That's why I just want to commend
you.
But
also reflecting, I do feel like the reason why we think it went so well was because her mom internalized the advice and then acted upon it and made changes
100%,
to it.
Yeah. I definitely, like, I also do appreciate my mother. Like, sometimes, like, we also have to, like, I will have to remind myself that I have to be empathetical towards my mom as well, because, like, for her whole life, that's the way that she's been dealing. Like, probably her mom, did that to her, and, like she feels like, so sometimes, like, I told her, and even though, usually during that moment, she's probably very defensive, and I try to, like, remind myself not to be, like, you know, but, like, I can see there's, like, some effort in it, like I feel like she tried a little bit, then I will take that as a win, you know, like even if she still have passive aggressive comments, even if I know she's still bitching about me with my sister, you know, even though I know that, I'm like in my brain, I'm like, this is a win, you know, give her some time.
This whole conversation just reminds me of BoJack Horseman and how they tackle the issue so well. If anyone hasn't watched it, which is Melody and Calvin, watch it, go and then watch it,
but make sure, make sure that you're like mentally stable when you watch it, because it will mess you up really hard.
Because they talked about how basically like the generation before us, they have their own ways of going through their lives in that particular era, and that has led them to a certain thinking and behavior, which we grow up in a very different way, and I guess we're very analytical or critical of like the world around us, ourselves. I love to watch media analysis, that's just one example, and then we're here analyzing our own behaviors as well, whereas like the generation before us, they just see things happen and then that's it, kind of.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I really learned, I mean, I'm still really, really bad at it, but then what my therapists always tell me, it's also just, you don't have to be mean about it, but just remember that you're not responsible for how they react, or you're not responsible for how a person feels about a thing. You know, if they react a certain way, it might be because of their past trauma, or they might have a certain mindset, but just know that, you know, you can be very respectful, but after you've done everything you could, you're not responsible for the result of it. And you're not responsible for their healing. You're not responsible for their well-being. So this is something that, you know, I just have to keep reminding myself as well.
So Melody, have you told your friend how he has made you feel?
I think what I've done, you know, he's obviously not very happy about that. But then I think for me, I just am a lot more aware of how comfortable I am at a certain situation. And if I'm not comfortable, I don't force it, because I honestly realize that every single healing journey for every single one of us, it's our own responsibility. And it's also only, we are the only ones that can help ourselves. So you can support them, but then you cannot be responsible for it, and you cannot be the cause of it. So I kind of am a lot more comfortable saying no now. So let's say if, you know, he wants to talk, then I'm more comfortable at saying, no, I'm sorry, I'm not comfortable talking as of now. So I think that is something that I've been trying to do. But I wonder if any of you had any experience of being on the other end of things. So like being called out for being toxic. I wonder if any of you had been on the other end of the story.
I feel like this is an open open invitation, or like honestly a bit of a confrontation, and yeah. I feel a bit offended.
Yeah, you're asking us, have you ever been called a dick before?
Are you toxic? Do you know you're toxic?
Like, that's what you're asking. Who's gonna admit they're a dickhead? That's what you're asking.
I don't think I've been called toxic specifically, but I have been like, people have drawn boundaries like on me. It doesn't feel good. Like I did not. So first of all, I was very hurt. I did not react very well. Well, I reacted well, but I didn't tell them, because I'm like, okay, I like in the back of my brain, I'm like, okay, I understand that this is their boundary, but the other side of me be like, how dare you? Blah, 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 you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I do feel like, I think it's also the part where I ascribe a lot of meaning to a lot of events in my life, and I keep reliving them because they live in my head rent-free. So one example that I have is I tend to exhibit some toxic behavior when I think there is when I feel like there's some perceived toxicity from others. So the example that I have is for this particular friendship, I feel like it's sometimes one-sided, not always. It's just that I think that they don't make time for me the same way that I do. So it's not like I need them to be there for me 24/7, but it feels like whenever I meet them or need to talk to them, it feels like I'm slotting, I need to slot or arrange my appointment, quote unquote, in order to see them. And yeah, so it feels really tiring, because it feels like I am such a inconvenience. And I don't think it's like they purposely or maliciously do it. They don't do it. I think it's just how they're wired, and they just want to make the most out of their day. And that makes sense. But it's just that in response, because of what I feel, I might be passive aggressive, and then there's like some latent hostility from time to time, maybe. And sometimes the situation might feel a bit sour or like unresolved. And yeah, then that just makes like both of us somewhat at fault. Some would even say maybe it's my fault, because I'm like making the situation worse, whatever. And yeah, just sometimes we just need time to cool off from each other. And sometimes, yeah, we just need our own time to resolve what's going on in our head and let like the feelings die off before we react. You know, get what I mean?
Yeah, or I feel like it's relative, because everyone has their different, like everyone have different sets of boundaries. So some people you can joke around a lot with, you can tease and whatnot, but some people are not, you know, comfortable with that. And I feel like communication is very important. But again, like with like the situation with my mom, I just want to to make sure that everyone knows that like my relationship with mom is not perfect set are still not like, we still have a lot of problems. And sometimes boundaries is not like if you set one time and then you're good to go. You have to keep setting on different things. You have to still like keep communicating on different things every single day. So for example, I set my boundaries on this specific relationship, but then maybe in terms of like my health or like other things, I have to set other boundaries, or we still have to communicate in a way. Or like if my mom tells me that, oh, I feel like sometimes you say this, it's hurtful, I also have to also be like open to like listening to her from her perspective, like how, oh, I as a daughter, or whatever. Or sometimes you just have to give time for each other to learn each other's new ways of dealing with it. And yeah, I remember like one time I was like, because I was so frustrated, I was in an argument with my mom, and I was like, mom, like, what do you actually want me to do? Like, what do you want our relationship to be like? Just tell me one way and I'll do it, you know? And then she's kind of like, well, it's hard for me to tell you exactly what I want you to do because relationship changes. Every single day is different. So there isn't like one size fits all kind of solution. It's not like one time you say it and then forever you'll be good. So every day you have to keep talking about it, you know, like listening to other, like to their feelings. And you also have to like tell them your feelings and like eventually, you know, work on that relationship if you want that relationship to like to continue.
No, I totally agree what you said about how relationship changes all the time. You're saying setting boundaries on different things, and I feel like you mentioned it over and over again. I agree completely. Like how open communication is so important, and then how your boundaries continue to change on different issues. Let's say you're using your story about you and your partner and your mom talking about it, but you're also open. Like, oh, okay, if you don't know anything, this is my boundary. It's like this wide. But then as you know more, as we get closer, and it keep changing. Yeah. So it varies. It's really, it's all about communication. It's hard, but no relationships are perfect. Yeah. All relationships are about you putting the effort and maintain it. That's the most important thing. So
And I do think one thing that makes me feel a little more at ease about, you know, drawing boundaries or ending relationships and whatnot is that, you know, the idea that everybody is meant to be in your life for a certain amount of time. And when you have your issues resolved, and if everything is done with, then, you know, maybe that's the end of the connection. That's the end of your fate, you know, the fate that you guys are meant to spend time with together. And, you know, who knows, maybe you end it now and then 10 years later, because of, you know, similar causality, similar fate, then something else would bring you back together again. So a lot of times I just feel like if right now it's not meant to be, right now it's not the right timing, then that's okay. And if it's meant to be, it'll come back again. So I think that is also one thing that kind of makes me feel a little more at ease about it.
Yeah, exactly. So like sometimes you have to put in effort to maintain a relationship, but then sometimes even if you've done everything that you could, you try to like foster communication and the other person doesn't want to communicate, then there's nothing you can do. Then maybe you'll just just let it go. Or maybe like eventually, maybe like after a year or so, like maybe like they have their own experience and they learn to, you know, open up, and then they'll be like willing to communicate again. Then you can
keep
that open.
True. Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think similar to what Lewis said, it's like some people who exhibit toxic behavior, I'm just very inclined to think people don't have toxic personalities. I'm very inclined to say that they may, like, again, I would want to say that people do things for self-preservation and they just aren't aware that other people have certain goals or ambitions. So like, let's say if they sabotage your career, they don't see it as such. They just see it as like, I want to upgrade myself. And then it seems like you don't want the same thing as much as me, or they like to compare it as such. And because of that, this kind of behavior, maybe it's toxic in the moment, but because it's relative / subjective, like you don't really need to sever any relationship. Like you can come together, communicate your wants and desires and the resolution. I would just encourage, I guess, that the possibility of growth and change. I just don't want people to like come out listening to us or come out of any relationship, and once they identify something as quote unquote toxic to them, they kind of sever and cut it to make their lives easier. But if you keep doing that, it will just stunt your own growth. It will stunt your perception of like what is toxicity and what type of person you are. Because, you know, who are we to say I am better than you, and therefore I'm gonna snip, snip everything.
Yeah. I guess to wrap.
I feel the pain. When you say snip, snip.
Okay, I guess to
stop.
I guess to wrap it up. As if you're listening, you probably can tell that we have not had everything figured out. Like we're all still struggling, and we all still don't know what we're doing.
Still growing,
but yeah, still but I guess that's the whole point of this. So then we can, you know, hopefully let people know that it's normal to not know it. So yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of opening communication, you guys should communicate with us. Follow us on our social media.
Damn.
Talk to us. We'll love to listen to anything that you have to say.
That was really good.
No, but honestly, I would
pick-up line.
Yeah, honestly, I would love to hear what other people has to say about this and their experience and their take on it too. So if you're interested, please do. And we would love to interview you and have you on the podcast too, if you're willing. We would love to hear your thoughts.
I have no friends, so be my friend.
Yeah, if people can comment like examples of them or thinking or unsure of whether they are the assholes in certain situations, we can do like a "Are you the asshole?"
We will judge you. Let us judge you.
And it'll be a competition. Who's the biggest asshole?
Right, yeah.
Me or you?
That'll be great. An award.
I like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, then.
Great.
Nice chatting
Thanks,
with you
guys.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.